to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner. No, I say this is my life. This is only your third time on the show. Anyways, like I was saying, this week on Minority Corner, as you can tell, we've got Glory is back for her third opinion. Her third appearance. This is turning out to a great show already. Sorry. Off to a start. What are we talking about, Glory, this week?
This week we are talking about Jennifer Lopez.
We had a lot of J-Lo. You saw her in a movie.
Yeah, we saw Hustlers.
You saw Hustlers. Don't put me in this basket.
I saw Hustlers.
I saw her in a movie with Viola Davis, which I want to talk about.
Yeah, and we're also talking about some really fun gay facts.
We got the gay facts. I've got a bunch of weird LGBT facts that you probably didn't know about. Yeah. From history. I've been in a history kick, so we're doing that. The Emmys happened.
The Emmys.
We got to talk about the Emmys.
Yes, the Emmys.
Billy Porter had a speech.
Yeah, and a good quote.
A lot of good stuff happened. Also, we just have some like gay news tidbits.
Yeah.
They're saying who's they.
Right.
But someone's saying that Mayor Pete isn't gay enough. Like, what the fuck does that mean? And coming out as HIV. Do you need to? What's the deal?
Yeah.
All that good stuff. And there's hate crimes. They're still happening. So.
And they're so whack.
Super whack. All that and so much more fun. Glory, I'm so glad you're here.
Yes.
Let's get into it.
Boom.
Ooh, we are in it. We are back. Welcome back to the podcast, Glory.
Hi, everybody.
I was going to say Glorelli.
It's close.
Almost there. Yeah. Every podcast I think you come back, I get better at it.
You have. Yeah. Glorelli's. Yeah, that's
it. It's the roll of the tongue. Yeah. You know what it is? Because I went to Barcelona.
Oh, yeah. So now the Spanish is better, right?
Not really. Because I spent $400 on a Spanish learning program.
Oh, my God, James. Have you heard of Duolingo?
I was like, no, I'm going to become like fluent. Yeah. I'm going to like learn it. And then, I went to Barcelona and everybody was so international and everyone spoke English.
Yeah.
And so I like used like none of it.
Yeah. And I know it's like a very specific part in Spain. I think they were trying to
they speak the Catalan.
Yeah. They were trying to like section off or whatever.
They were trying to leave. Yeah.
I was like, you're doing too much.
I was there a few years ago and I was on my way to brunch and there was a protest
march.
This
is the kind of drama that you need in the morning.
Protest march and I was like, well, I love a protest. So I joined the protest march on my way to brunch.
James.
A friend of mine was like so mad because it's like dear to her heart because she doesn't want the Catalan region to separate because that's where all the money in Spain is in the Catalan region. So they say or whatever. I want to say you are like, you know what you're like to the Minority Corner podcast? You are like the Pitbull to our J-Lo.
Oh my God. I hope that's good, right? Because I get hit records or something like that?
Well, because you guest on the podcast so much.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Because Pitbull has done so many songs with J-Lo.
With J-Lo, right?
He's in one of his songs. He's like, we not here for a repeat. We getting down for a three-peat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they've actually done like at least four or five songs with each other. So
we're on our third song.
We're at our three-peat. This is our three-peat.
So dial it.
I think this is our third song? We'll look it up at the break. It's I Wanna Dance.
Yeah, that's my song.
Tonight we're gonna get up the club.
On the floor.
Oh yeah. We're gonna get crunk on the
floor. That's the best song.
My other one is like, the other one that I love that they do is like, don't fight. Don't fight.
Dance again.
Make love tonight. Oh no, it's don't fight. Let's fuck tonight. You know, I love it when songs be talking about fucking.
I didn't hear that song.
Oh, because you got these virgin ears.
No, I just
never. Is it too much for you?
No, I love sex.
She's
too.
Like, ay Dios mío, I can't.
I just haven't heard it. But we should play it in the intro.
Well, I don't think we can. We're gonna go for those rights.
Is it you're right, my bad.
I think we can play like up to 10 seconds of it.
But Dance Again.
Woody, you can play 10. Our editor, Woody, put 10 seconds of the song in.
Right with the part where James started.
Let's fuck tonight.
Maybe I'm thinking of the same. I got to listen to the song now.
Okay, we'll listen to the break. That is so not. We were actually going to
Dance Again and Let's Fuck Tonight.
Speaking of J-Lo.
Oh, you want to bring that up
Let's
early?
Just go right into it.
Yo,
so
James.
You went to the movies. So Jennifer Lopez. Let me caveat this.
Yes.
J-Lo has a new movie called Hustlers. Mm-hmm. And as you know, it's September going into October. So we're nearing into Oscar season. It's really... fix your face. control your poker face. Mm-hmm. It's really early, I feel, to be talking about Oscar season. But J-Lo has been getting Oscar buzz. And I wonder if it's just because not enough Oscar movies have come out yet. So they're like, oh yeah, I guess it's good. You saw Hustlers. What is your unspoiler opinion?
Like, don't worry, I'm not gonna spoil shit. Y'all already knew it. Like, I'm starting to think maybe someone from her team started that rumor.
That's smart. So, because you,
the only reason, I'm gonna be honest with you, I was gonna just bootleg it, but the only
You're not gonna support your girl from the block.
I, you know, I have like my qualms with J-Lo. You know, you gotta respect what she's done, but she's also like stolen a lot of shit and she doesn't give a lot of credit, but that's my business.
I also had a little gripe, and this is, I was some controversy in the podcast, mm-hmm. because she got the Video Vanguard Award for MTV before like Missy Elliott, and I'm just like, why is she getting it?
I don't know. And I you know, I'm, you know, I'm my tangent self. I'm a Gemini. Everybody already on the podcast knows that. But like, someone wrote this article about how like, will she get the EGOT? I'm like, who the fuck is lying? She's never gotten an Emmy.
No.
She's never gotten a Oscar. Grammy.
She got a Grammy.
She only was nominated.
J-Lo doesn't have a Grammy.
She doesn't have a Grammy.
Oh, even Britney has a Grammy.
Right. But Britney's that bitch.
But you know, Christina won Grammys before Britney did. And that always made me sad. Because I'm, okay, whatever. But Britney's got that magic.
But Christina can sing.
I mean, but she's also a terrible human being.
Okay, I don't know her like that.
Well,
but
I do. Check the Twitter feed.
Are most artists terrible?
No.
But, you know, back to the Oscar
Britney's
thing.
Britney's my girl, so.
No, I love her, you know, for the most part.
Okay.
But.
So she did some shit to you in Vegas or something?
Nah, my old boss used to really love her. And I told my boss to suck my dick. And now he ruined Britney for me. Yeah,
that's sad. Yeah. You need to reclaim your time with Britney. Reclaim
Britney. And I'm really working through it again. Because she really was part of my childhood. Like,
yeah.
She was that bitch. But the reason why I went to go see Hustlers was because everyone's like, yo, this is like Oscar worthy.
Yeah, that's what everyone's been saying.
And I was like, yo, this, you know, if J-Lo is really stepping up her game and really, you know, for me, I knew the movie was produced in a limited time. Like, it wasn't like it was like.
Oh, yeah, because I remember hearing, I feel like it was just a year ago. They're like, we got the rights to this movie. It's based on a true story about these strippers in New York.
They did it in 29 days. Like,
oh, that's never a good thing. You know, they shot Moonlight in like 18 days or something crazy.
Moonlight had, let me say Barry Jenkins and J-Lo are two. We just know, like, for me, I think J-Lo does a good job of marketing herself and really
selling
her personality.
Because here's what I was so surprised when they were like, J-Lo, Oscar buzz. I remember watching
Everybody was surprised.
even though her publicist started that rumor.
Right.
Because I remember on Netflix, they had, you know, there's a lot of shitty movies on Netflix. And then at the bottom of the barrel, there was a Lifetime movie that had Viola Davis and Jennifer Lopez on it. Well, because Viola, I don't even know that, but Viola was like, it's only lasts like 5 years that Viola's like blown up, right? Yeah. That's because she got locked into her How to Get Away with Murder contract before she blew up. It was like the year before. That's why she's like, okay, finally 6 seasons, we're done, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because the year before, she had signed the contract and then she blew up the next year and she's like, I'm trying to make all this money moves and make movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had done like, she's just working, and she had done this Lifetime movie with her and J-Lo, and they play like two grieving mothers who their sons got killed in like some gang violence, like either police or gang violence. I don't know, guns in America.
Right.
Who knows who has these guns?
Right.
And I had to turn it off because...
Wow, that's how you're going to start.
I made it 20 minutes in because the Viola was killing it.
Right.
And then she'd be acting across J-Lo and it just made J-Lo look so bad.
I gotta watch this movie.
Viola is so good that it just makes J-Lo stand out so much. I had to turn it off. And so then this fast forward like 3-4 years later, they're like, oh, J-Lo, Oscar buzz. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe she like took a turn. Maybe she just needed the right director.
Right.
Maybe she got some acting lessons or acting coach.
Yeah.
But the jury is saying no on Hustlers.
No. I think people are trying to equate, because you know when you do a role, like you really have to, you know, you're an actor.
Right? I am an actor. I'm really on sabbatical. Right. I'm taking my classes.
But you really have
I'm a Meisner trained actor.
A what?
A Meisner-trained actor.
Okay.
To study. I've also trained at the Upright Citizens Brigade with the other comedic geniuses of our time.
Right. Hello. Let them know. Put that plug in there, James. Let them know. But, you know, you have to really embody that person's lifestyle, whatever you're... Like, you really got to take that in, right?
Did you just see, like, J-Lo? You're like, oh, look at J-Lo being a stripper.
But I think people are saying, like, oh, because she's doing a stripper, she did such a good job at being a stripper. And I'm like, all right. There's a little bit more that goes into an Oscar nomination. Yeah. Like, maybe crying on cue, right? Like,
she's not crying on cue. No, she's crying at the wrong time.
It was just so, like... The whole film, because, you know, for me, and, you know, I'm not there yet, James, at my Oscar.
Almost.
Right. Give me like 5 more years. Right. But or maybe 10. But I think part of getting nominated. Right.
I like that you got real honest with yourself.
Maybe 2.
No, set goals. I say 5.
Right. Okay.
Oh, no, 6. I see where you mean.
Yeah.
You're on your way.
Yeah. You know.
10.
Yeah. I'm gonna get an Oscar.
Push it back
for like,
to 10.
Right. For like,
and you could be Sicily. You could be like, who knows? It might be 90 years old. You might be 90
and
doing some of the best
Oscar.
Work of your life.
And that's gonna be J-Lo. She's gonna get it one day.
She keep working at it.
She needs
Fonda
an acting
it.
Coach.
She needs the right people. You know what sometimes it is? Because I remember the first time I worked with a black queer director, male, it was a whole different experience. Yeah. I think sometimes people just don't know how to work with us, you know, and they don't
well,
know
you say
how.
Us, you put in J-Lo in that category? Because J-Lo's a white Latina that she has a lot of resources. They produce all her tracks for her. Like, she just talked over her vocals.
Okay, wow. So, you really
I'm just saying,
fan.
Like, to respect her for what she's done and the what she's paved the way for. Because, you know, back in the 90s, what they were doing with the industry was a little different.
And Selena had just died and we needed a new Selena.
That's what she needed to write, whatever she was doing with the Selena route, whoever directed her there, they need to come back and bring her back to life.
Back well, I think maybe she's so big that no one knows how to tell her, like, J-Lo, you're not doing a good job in your scene.
That's
maybe
a
no
problem.
One knows how to direct her. Maybe
that's
what
problem.
It is. Do you know Kiki Palmer's in that movie? Who was she not good in it? Was Kiki Palmer not? Akilah and the Bee.
That's
Akilah
the problem.
And the Bee.
Like, I love Kiki. I know that when I make it, she's going to be one of my friends.
She is. And
but
Constance Wu is in it, who's very political
Constance
and active.
She was great.
She's a great
actress.
She was
great.
She's very talented.
Honestly, the person for me that stole the show, and she was there for 5 seconds.
Lizzo?
Cardi B.
Really?
Cardi B had whatever.
Are you just saying that because like
No. Okay. I'm really honest. I think I want to really ride this wave of honesty before I have celebrity friends and I have to start lying, you know?
Right.
So I want to
You
really-
don't gotta lie now, although they'll be like, play that tape when you are Minority
Right.
Corner. J-Lo's like, what you say about me? I need an acting coach. And she's like,
and it's gonna change
like,
her life. Because
like, girl, you're right. You know, I listened to you on Minority Corner and it changed my life.
Exactly.
You're right.
You know, sometimes you got too many yes men around you, but Cardi B, sorry, I know we have a lot of things to talk about. Cardi B had whatever Tiffany Haddish had in Girls Trip. Like, it was just like the camera loved her.
And she just was like raw and thinking of a 2 Fox and just
right.
Doing it.
It was perfect. Like, I don't know. I think that J-Lo was trying to tap into that personality that Cardi has. And it's like,
It just wasn't in her. She's
not,
no Meryl Streep. Where Meryl Streep can disappear into a role or a Viola Davis.
That's what I'm saying. When I want
like a
good acting makes me forget who you are. And
at the same time, here's what I want to say. Because some people are like, oh, you know, Halle Berry just plays herself all the time, right? That's what people like. Some people say, right? And at the same time, though, actually, like that is as if you can just play yourself. Because honestly, a lot of acting is like for most of us actors.
Let us
just,
know. Give us that UCB.
For most of you, actors, you're really just going to be playing different versions of yourself. Really, yes. That's like a base point, and it's actually really challenging to actually play yourself on camera because you've got to get out of your own head and just be a human being and just let everything go. It's so much looks so you know easy to a certain effect, and then there's some actors who are literally able to really disappear into a role like a Viola Davis or a Meryl Streep who just like they disappear, you know.
I like that.
But not everybody can do that. And maybe J-Lo should just play characters that are maybe
she does
closer
a really
to
good
herself.
Job of work of doing working class roles. Like
Made in Manhattan.
She was wonderful.
She's like she killed it.
She killed
Give her the Oscar for Made in Manhattan. Wow.
I'm just saying like
working class. But is it a stripper working class?
Yes. I mean, they could be a little wealthy, right? Okay. He's doing it right.
She's a fear, but isn't she in the movie? She starts making money. The trailers showed good moments.
The trailer was all you needed to see.
Okay, so I got the movie. Got
yes.
it.
Yes.
Should I put it on my airplane list?
You should definitely watch it. And then text.
I have a list. I have like my Netflix movies that I wait for Netflix. Mm-hmm. Ones I wait for streaming. And I have a list of like ones I wait for movie, for an airplane. So I hate when I get on the airplane. I'm like, oh no, I already saw all these. I saw this on Netflix
or
Hulu.
Why are you such a planner? What's your fucking moon. You give me a lot of Virgo moon signs.
Aquarius.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. You never know someone until you read the birth chart.
Well, when I went to Europe, my friend Anne, shout out to Anne, she's studying to be an astrologist, and she did my entire astrology chart.
Oh, wow.
So Cancer with a Sagittarius rising.
Drama.
Get out of it. I'm water and fire at the same time. So it's very interesting. That means that people see me on the outside. I project as like a fire. I'm like burning fiery guy. But on the inside, I'm water and emotional.
Right. And a little bit unattached. A little detached, that's the word.
Oh.
Yeah, that Aquarius shit.
I'm getting red on the show.
We're going to get to that segment. Okay. We have extra time. But all I want to say about the Hustlers movie, it was a good movie. Like, when I say it did its job, it was entertaining. Mm. Is it critically acclaimed, award-winning movie?
You have, like...
No!
Correct...
No, like, I just think that everybody wants to give out awards and everybody has a voice now. And it's like, no, like, we need to really preserve history and that doesn't need to be in the archives.
Well, it's early. I mean,
Players Club, that's a movie.
It's September. So I think we got a little too early with our like Oscar
Her publicist
buzz.
Did what her publicist needed to
She's
do.
Like, let me get this in on early. Okay. Speaking of awards, they were handing out awards recently.
Oh, yeah. Some Emmys. Emmys. Jamie Little doesn't have one of those either.
I mean, I want an Emmy and J-Lo doesn't have an Emmy. Mm-hmm. Me and J-Lo have something in common, and you
no awards. We don't, but she got nominations.
Oh, okay, fine. She doesn't have an Emmy. I don't have an Emmy nomination, and she doesn't have an Emmy nomination. So there was that.
I think she does have an Emmy nomination
for what? Guest starring on like Will and Grace or something stupid.
Was she on it? Well, first of all, everyone was on Will and Grace. Why you went so ham for Will and Grace?
I mean, I've met Deborah Messing. When I met her, I pretended like I didn't know her because I didn't know she was.
I do that to all celebrities.
She was like, "My name's Deborah," and I was like, "What was that? Deborah? I'm sorry. I didn't want to fangirl out.
I never watched Will and Grace. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I had a college professor who did not like Will and Grace. He called it gay face because one of the actors was, and this is like early on. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were living a different time. And so, Will and Grace has come back. I haven't watched the reboot or anything. By the time Sean Hayes wasn't coming out, my professor used to call him a baby killer because there was such a high, LGBT people still have the highest rate of suicide. Oh. And having that visible reputation is so important. But it's a different time. And like, you know, people come out on their own times. Like, I get what he's saying. Yeah. It's hard because that was like, you know, so long ago. Yeah.
But it's also like at that point, I don't really think, I mean, unless he was like an executive producer, you as an actor, you didn't really get to choose.
It was hard. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you came out, it was like career suicide then. And like, even now, it's not necessarily career suicide, but because you got Ryan Murphy, you can go fucking
work
for it.
But you could get very, what's that thing? Typecast, right? Because Billy Porter talks about that, like how they only want to cast him for the super like flamboyant roles. Mm. And he wants, like, he obviously is grateful for his opportunity, but it's like he can play other roles, right?
He's very flexible. He looks great. There's a new movie with Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne, who I fucking love. She was in Bridesmaids. She's like,
who's Rose?
Byron or something. She's like, I'll show you. She was in The Secret Life of Henrietta Lacks with Oprah. And Rose is such a good actress that she made Oprah sort of like how I looked at Viola Davis versus Jennifer Lopez. That Rose was the Viola and Oprah was the J-Lo.
Oh my God, I love this girl.
She's
What's
so
her
funny.
Name, Rose?
Rose Byrne or Byron or something. Yo, she's a transformative actress. She
I love
disappears
her.
Into because she played in this movie with Henrietta Lacks. She plays a girl from Portland. And I didn't think that Portland had a stereotype until I saw her fall into it. Because she's Australian, so she's able to look at like everybody with this like sort of lens. She's
like
phenomenal.
She maybe does her job as an actress and
okay. I feel like that's a read at J-Lo and the library is now closed. The Emmys. So I'm excited that Jarrell Jerome won for I almost said This Is Us.
When they see us.
Oh God, sorry.
James.
I knew it was something about someone looking at somebody.
Yes.
Someone looking at a group of a community.
Yes.
This Is Us, When They See Us.
Yes.
When They Look at Us.
Yes.
We should do a show called When They Look at Us.
Right. What and do people what see?
Yeah, what do they see?
I mean, we have this
like an introspective. Right. Like, when they look
they
at
got,
us.
They got that guy you always bring up, Wayne Brady and Rihanna.
Oh, fuck that guy. I'm working on it. I mean, not fuck that guy. I'm going to have a career because of Wayne Brady. I'm working on a one-man show called I Am Not Wayne Brady.
Oh, I love that, James. Good?
Yeah, it's working. It's a 50-minute show. I don't know what it's going to be about, but I have a title. That. So I've got a starting off point.
Like you just need a story and that's it.
Okay, the rest will write itself.
Right.
I'm so excited that Jarrell Jerome won for When They See Us. Because for me, like awards are so political these days. Mm-hmm. And so it brings attention to the Exonerated Five.
Yes.
Not the Central Park Five, but the Exonerated Five. I wish When They See Us won a little bit more awards, but at least Jerelle Jerome, he killed it in that series.
Watching,
fucking killed it.
I sometimes, you know, everything is so available on the internet. So I wanted to take my time when I watched his acceptance piece.
Oh, yeah.
And I was watching on the way over here and I kind of got a little bit teary eyed, but then somebody airdropped me
some dick pics. You got phantom flash?
Titty pics.
You got phantom.
Yes.
You got phantom flash.
I was like in the middle of tearing up and somebody sent me titty pics. I was so tight.
So if you don't know what this is, I'll link my stand up. I talk all about it. But phantom flashing is a real thing. That's why I switched to the Google. I get switched to a Google phone because I can't get phantom flash. So be warned, if you have an iPhone, you could be minding your own business, watching something emotional like Our Glory here, and someone will send you random dick or now titty pics.
Right. But it's by Visibility Day. So it was like nice. Because like I got a change of it. Usually get a dick pic, now I got some titties, so.
I didn't know I've been getting dicks. I'm like a digital dick magnet. But not anymore. I switch phones and I'm just like
Google Pixel. So Jerelle Jerome, I'm really excited for him, especially because on top of winning the award, he was
also in Moonlight and killed.
Oh, I was gonna say Moonlight. Yeah. He was doing his thing.
He was.
And in
21.
Huh?
He's 21.
Oh, he gonna get an Oscar.
I'm just like, my life? I'm on my own race. I'm running my own race. Jerelle.
It's a marathon.
I don't know why I'm mad at him.
But I like that, you know, I feel like reporters are doing more of their due diligence. And this white reporter asked him about, you know, his heritage, identifying as an Afro-Latino. Mm-hmm.
Getting that representation. I really liked
that he did his research and made it a question that's like, you know, that he understands like the layers to like identity on some level. You can't give him that much credit.
Sunny Houston was the first Afro-Latina to be on the cover of like some Latino magazine. Is that a magazine?
Is it Latina? I don't know. I don't really like Latina.
She's like on the cover of like Latina. Yeah.
Yeah, because they only put white Latinas on there, but I like that they're putting Afro-Latina.
They put Sunny Houston on there.
Because we're now in this place where it's like, you know, we're really trying to figure out like what race means to everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I just like that it gives people like visibility, right? So he did his thing. It was a beautiful, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the Exonerated Five. Like they're getting their shine. And also I really enjoyed Billy Porter's, that he quoted James Baldwin.
Oh, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, we're recording this podcast right across the street from where James Baldwin went to elementary school.
Get the fuck out of here. Can I curse? School.
Yes, you can. Okay. Fuck yeah, he did. I mean, fuck yeah, James Baldwin. Right. Dick. You can
and
say
anything on here. And I just want to read the quote because it really can go for anybody,
okay,
right?
Yeah. And I didn't hear it.
I'm going to tell you for you. Okay. He said, it took many years of vomiting up all the filth I'd been taught about myself and half-believed before I was able to walk on this earth as though I had a right to be here. And then Billy Porter was
so
like,
good.
Everybody has a right to be here. I have a right to be here. You have a right. He was giving out rights like he was Oprah.
And didn't he say like, I saw the category is love.
Oh my God, that shit took me. I love that. He's like, and somebody like quoted on Instagram, the category is history. It was just like, I love
Billy Porter be slaying and bringing it. Yeah. I'm so glad that, because at first, you know, I was looking over I saw the winners and the losers. Yeah. I love the Emmys. I fucking love TV, but I just didn't watch it live.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. First of all, I don't have cable.
So that's step one. Step one. I think that's it. There's only one step. Right. I don't have cable. Well, I'm not watching it. But I was a little disappointed because I didn't feel like there was as much. Usually I feel like the Emmys is a little bit more where you find more diversity than certainly the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like there wasn't as much diversity as I feel like there could have been.
Yeah.
But I mean, because essentially it's the golden age of television. Like Anthony Anderson was nominated, but his wife.
Tracy Ellis Ross?
She wasn't nominated. She's already won.
Yeah.
But, you know, she wasn't nominated even though she's already won. So maybe they're like, we're done with her.
I think with the Emmys, they do it like a one and done kind of thing. Like,
that is not true because SNL keeps winning for Best Variety Series.
I meant for the diverse shows. So like Jane the Virgin in the beginning got all this Emmy
that's right.
thing.
And then like, okay, we're done.
Okay,
with
we're
you.
Done. We gave you your thing.
Go away.
Right.
They meet
quotas. But I do want to bring up an ally moment.
Oh, I know who it's going to be.
Michelle Williams, yeah.
Which also snaps Michelle Williams because like I would have never predicted this is where her career was gonna go from Dawson's Creek to like she does amazing work. Talk about an actress who fucking disappears into the roles. Her and she gave a shout out to women of color.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Was the quote? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I just got so excited.
No, she was just saying that, you know, when black women say that they need something to do their job well, give them what they need. So one of those things is equal pay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when equal pay and, you know, just just really giving women of color more visibility again with the in the workplace mm-hmm. as actors, you know, all that stuff. And you know,
I just love this conversation because like there's been some missteps in the past, like at these awards of like I forget who it was. I think Patricia Arquette stepped in it. Someone stepped in it, and they were just talking about like essentially women, but it was white women.
It was like a white feminist movement.
Yeah, it was like our turn. Like they were shouting out like it's our turn. Get behind us
and
now.
And people were like,
women of color. So I appreciate, you know, Michelle Williams taking her white lady time to like give a shout out to women of color.
Even if we don't, when it comes to allyship, we never know like what the, I love it. And we don't know if maybe this is like a PR angle where, you know,
you've got skepticism. Some people are skeptical.
I'm trying not to, but I love what she said. I want to see her continue doing this, right? Not just like a one-time thing.
But I always find that actually the award shows you see things happening. Frances McDormand said inclusion writer mm-hmm. at the end of one of her speeches. And I think it was like at the Emmys, she was like inclusion writer. And then Michael B. Jordan was like, what's that? And now he has an inclusion writer contract on all of his projects. And it's something like you have to bring like a certain amount of like people, like women of color, women mm-hmm. onto your like cast and crew.
Yeah.
And because Frances McDormand, white lady, dropped that bomb, you know?
So some of the whites that be out here, you see little
progresses sort of change and stuff.
So I'm not gonna be skeptical. I'm just happy that she brought it up and she, like you said, used her white lady time for something that wasn't hers. Because you know, white women like to take everything for themselves. But that's a transition.
Okay. There's a couple more minutes here. I'm just gonna do a quick gay news and review.
Okay, love it.
Things that I'm just like, this isn't happening. So we're gonna link these articles. This is just really quick.
Okay.
Flyby, quick thoughts, moving on. So Mayor Pete has been called out for not being gay enough.
Okay.
Which is like a little bit of like a little bit of a lot of things that are packed in that. A lot of the media who have been saying this has mostly been straight media outlets. So it's like, you're still viewing gay people in a certain sort of a lens.
Yeah.
The correct thing to say is because he kind of does pass for whatever that means in a certain way, that's the real sort of comments, or like, you know, his journey is going to be a little bit different because he's able to, you know, he's not as an effeminate sort of like gay man, right? So how is his journey different? So I feel like that's the real thing to say, but it's also not a place for like a straight media outlet to say, so calm down.
It's also like, if he wants to, you know, again, I don't like
he's
to talk
married to like a man, right? Like, calm down.
I don't want to, you know, I don't like to say too much in a place where I don't inhibit, but if that's the way that if that's the way that he wants to carry his day to day, maybe he doesn't want to be,
he's just being himself.
Yeah, like why do I need to be like, hey, I am gay every day? And if you want to do that, right,
you can write that song,
put that on Minority
T-shirt,
Corner merch.
I am gay every day,
right?
And that could be his campaign slogan if he wants, but let him run his campaign.
Yeah, why does somebody's sexuality have to do with what I'm...
He's just trying to do his politics thing. Right. There's other things to drag him about, like his relationship to the black people in South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, there we go. That's what we're talking about.
His privilege as like a white gay man, or his privilege as like, you know, because he is, you know, maybe not as effeminate. Those are like certain conversations to have.
Yeah.
But are at the same time too, to a certain point, like, are they really? Because you don't drag a straight candidate for any of those things of like, oh, you're so straight. Like, let his politics speak for itself. Yeah. Let's focus on that.
I'm not even from it. So is he running? Can you remind me what
he's running for president, Glory?
Get the fuck out of here. You dead ass.
Welcome to 2019, Glory. Welcome.
Let me tell you something,
just
James.
Out of the mix, it's too early.
Now make sure you what's your editor's name?
We're not editing this out. You know, you might not be alone. The listeners
This is what I'm doing, right?
Gay man running for president.
No,
he's number 5 in the Iowa polls.
Which is, look, my thing is that we're so bombarded with information right now. Okay. And like, I didn't want to go through this journey with the rest of Twitter. Like, everybody keeps changing their mind.
You can also not use Twitter to
I know. But I'm saying, like, you know, this is where people receive information, right? Like, on a day to day, you're getting these updates, whatever. I want to get until, you know, we get a little bit closer and we get the real candidates.
Right. Will the real candidates please stand up?
Right.
Okay.
It's just like,
it's too early.
It's a lot of people. It's like comedy. A lot of those people aren't going to make it up there, you know? Like, that's it. And
but keep following your dreams, candidates who fall behind.
And this is how you find out information. I'm
come onto the show. Hey, our motto here, I'm not shading you.
I don't care. I don't give a
learn,
shit.
Learn, laugh, and play. That is the theme.
My
here.
Thing is that I'm not gonna speak on what I don't know, right? Oh. So like I was just speaking on the fact that if, as a gay man, if he wanted to represent himself in a certain way, that's fine. I'm not sure what his politics are, and I'm not endorsing him by any means. But as a human being, live your best life.
There it is.
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Also, do you know who Dick Cheney is? If I showed you
I know what you're gonna say. Thank you.
If I showed you a picture of Dick Cheney, yes, would you know who
yes,
he is?
Yes, James.
That's why I was bringing up Kiki Palmer earlier. I just know. Back. Kiki Palmer was in an interview and they
We didn't even talk about baby girl.
I know. Yeah. But Kiki Palmer, they put a picture, showed a picture of Kiki Palmer to Dick Cheney and they were asking her some questions and she's like, I don't know who this man is. Sorry to this man.
And then she's in another interview, she found out like who he was. Like, I'm glad I didn't know.
Like, but what a life to have lived that I wish I didn't know who Dick Cheney was. I wish I knew that world. That's an ignorant. Sometimes ignorance is such a bliss. Like, I wish.
Ignorance is bliss. And I think that you can choose. Like I said, what I'm doing in my personal life is I like to pick and choose what kind of content I receive. Because everything, you know, people just taking information, they're not doing critical research or due diligence. I just want to sit down with information by myself.
Okay.
And read about it on my own time.
Get it.
Thank you.
We've got like 1 minute. We got to get on to the rest of the show. Two things. One that broke my heart. The Oakland Gay Men's Chorus office was vandalized and it said like die fags on it. So
People are so uncreative.
like at least if you're going to be like homophobic, be creative with it.
Right. Like, no, I'm trying to be funny, but it's like, this is so old. This is so like, you're a child.
Also like, I don't know. Just like, it's such a waste of fucking energy. It breaks my heart. Cause like, I'm from the Bay Area. Yeah. And also just to point out that there has been a rise of hate crimes and that's a global thing. People always want to point like hate crimes like Southern specific. It's even happening in my own backyard. And also Jonathan Van Nuys came out as HIV positive. He's on Queer Eye. And it made me sort of think on one sense, like so commendable that he came out. I wish that we lived in a world where HIV positive people didn't feel like they had to come out, you know? Like I wish the stigma for everything was just washed away. But I understand he probably came out because there are people who feel like their lives are over or that to sort of end the stigmatization around it. But I look forward to the day where, you know, HIV is not the death sentence that it once was and that people are living long and healthy lives. And especially once you get to like undetectable levels, you can't even transmit the disease to somebody else at that point.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that the media is doing a better job of maybe trying to change that narrative a little bit. Like I saw, you know, recently I got into Pose and they had an episode about it.
Good.
I've been seeing a lot of like ads all over the city, just like kind of like destigmatizing like what that is and kind of just having more education around it.
Because that's really what it is. It's literally just education. And same thing like with the STIs and stuff. Like it's sometimes you get an STI, ain't no shit. Just like getting a cold on your dick.
Chlamydia is very curable.
And it's a beautiful name.
Chlamydia?
Like chlamydia didn't mean what it is.
I can see a Dominican by mistake naming a child now. That's a very Dominican name. Godelis,
not gonorrhea. Chlamydia. Like that's not a cute name. No. Gonorrhea sounds like I'm throwing up like in your mouth. But you know what? This little, make sure that you're getting tested every 3 months if you're sexually active. Yeah. It's just, if you happen to get an STI, it's just like getting a cold on your dick or your vajayjay.
Thank you for
still using that word?
Vajayjay?
Yeah.
We can use whatever we want here, James. This is your world.
What are the kids using for like, I always say dick.
Sometimes they call it the box.
Okay, we'll have to circle back on that. That sounds like, that's an intense word for the box.
It's very New York. Like, you got that box.
Okay. Let me get at that box.
Not like that. No,
let me get at that box.
You put some West Coast Cali. Like,
okay. Would it be like, hey, it's more like, I look forward to your box.
Let me eat the box.
Let me eat that box.
Yeah, like it's a little bit more.
Let me get a pizza. Let me eat the box.
Exactly. That's a little bit better. It's giving me a lot of Italian, like I might have had a mafia past life, but that's,
I'm done. Okay, let's get into the corner. We're going to keep this weird ass show going. I've been on a history, history kick lately. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some weird ass LGBT facts that you may or may not have known.
Okay.
You probably didn't.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1, or weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Going back in time through history, LGBT weird facts.
Beautiful.
Okay, yeah. I like your little add-on. You're like my, like, Timbaland.
Right.
You're, like, in the studio. You're like...
Oh, baby, you ain't gotta
come. I don't think that's Timbaland. I feel like that's, like... The hoe who be singing on these tracks.
That's you're right. Maybe
like
maybe,
Keisha or like
maybe
some,
I'm
or,
more of like the hoe.
Like, you know, there's always that girl who you're like, oh, this girl's got a beautiful voice. Who is she? And she never got no name. She's like Keisha from down the street or Mia or sometimes like, or like Kelly. Who was it? That Kelly girl for a long, not Kelly Rowland, but there was like Kelly Houston.
I don't know who that is.
Or Kelly. She was producing like songs for like Britney for a while. Kelly Hill. Kelly, she was did a lot of work with Timbaland. Okay, we'll look it up in the break. Put a note. Okay. Okay, here we go. So I've got some facts, some fun, because I've been doing a lot of like just into LGBT history lately, which I love doing because it just shows that we've been around for a long time and it's just people are just now coming around to remembering. Like people have been queer for a long time.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new. So we're going back in time. All right. So did you know that the oldest ever chat up line, you know, like, you know, how we be chatting with each other. Mm-hmm. The oldest ever chat up line was apparently between two men, and it was through a mythological story of the 20th century of ancient Egypt. And it's between Horus and Seth, who had quarreled for 80 years of who should rule. And Seth attempted to persuade Horus to sleep with him, saying, "How lovely are your buttocks and how muscular your thighs." And then they have sex. It's like the mythological story of like these two gods who were both men and they were chatting each other up and so we'll link that. There was a fragment of papyrus that reveals how it all went down. And then I think there's like the story either displays or maybe there's a hieroglyph that shows like by penetrating Horus, Seth hopes to make it clear he is dominant and therefore should be king. But Horus is no fool. He enjoys the sex and then tricks Seth in return so it looks as if his uncle had been penetrated. It was his uncle.
This sounds a lot of rape. This is giving me a lot of rape. It's just for fun to like, I think we gotta talk about it.
I forgot to mention that. I kind of buried the lead.
Yes.
They were uncle nephew. But I think that's one of those things that was like, you know how mythological stories, there's like, it's for one will explain like how something, like why something happens. Like this is why the sun rises. And there's also like an allegory. So I'm sure there's some
allegory story
that it was important for the ancient Egyptians that, you know, don't fuck your uncle or something. I don't know.
This is a novela. So pedophilia has been going on for a minute.
That is, there's nothing new. There's nothing new. So I bet you didn't know that little fun story. Okay. Next one. Some historical gay and bi figures have turned their lovers into gods. So Alexander the Great, he wanted to make his boyhood lover, Hephaestion, a god when he died, but was only allowed to declare him a divine hero because politics.
Back in the day.
But the Roman Emperor Hadrian, he was building walls. You might know him from like all of his wall building. But he was successfully able to make his lover, Antinous, a god after he drowned in the Nile.
Okay.
So it just kind of depended on the time, who was like in the rule, who was ruling at the time, who was going to be able to like say, you know, all right, your lover can be a god or whatnot. But in the movie Alexander, I think it's Oliver Stone directed it. Who is it? Oh, what's the guy? The Irish guy.
The one that's talking the racist shit?
No, that guy. Different Irish guy.
Okay.
Oh, what's his name? Not Clive Owen. Oh, fuck. Colin Farrell.
Colin is Irish?
Isn't he? Yes.
I didn't know that.
So Colin Farrell, he plays Alexander in it. And then Jared Leto plays Hephaestion, his lover.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Jared Leto, his body was on point in that movie. Mm. And they have some, like, some of the gay stuff got cut out, but you could see it. And I just remember, oh, it was so hot and so turned on. So
did they win an Oscar?
No, people didn't like... Angelina Jolie plays his mother in the movie, and it's weird because they're only, like, 3 years apart, so... But that's back when Hollywood was like, oh, Angelina Jolie, you're 40, you can be a mom.
Right.
Or like she was like 36 and they're like, you're a mom now. Times have changed, or they're kind of changing.
Yeah, a lot of things are changing.
Okay, We're sticking around in the olden days. So I probably will be, there's so many of these facts I found. So probably over the course of like the next few weeks, I'll be dropping little of these tidbits along the way.
I love that.
So we're still in ancient times. So this one's about a creation myth by Aristophanes. So according to Aristophanes, there were three sexes. So those with two male heads, which were descended from the sun, and those with two female heads from the earth, and those with a male and a female head descended from the moon. So displeased with them, Zeus crippled them by chopping them in half. And since that day, according to the story, we are looking for the other half to create our whole. And so that is known as the origin of love.
Boo.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Down. Wait, I got lost. There are three sexes.
Yeah, so there's like three sexes. So there's one. So back in like according to like this ancient Greek myth of like when human beings were first around, so that there was two male heads, and then there are two female heads, and there's one that was a male and a female head, and then Zeus was like, "Fuck this shit," and he cut everything in half, and so everyone's looking for the other half to like complete that.
Oh,
so yeah,
Zeus started so much drama. Y'all don't even know.
He was like fucking everybody.
Yeah,
he was like fucking anything he could, and then sometimes he would be like, "Ooh, I like that woman," and he's like, "Ooh, I don't want Hera to know." So he would like turn that woman into like a swan,
right?
So he'd keep fucking her, or a cow. So
he
keep
was
fucking
such
her.
A hoe.
But it's just like, you know, the father of everything. So that just means
he
like
really is. Yeah,
keep hoeing up. Okay, number seven. This one's interesting. I think you're gonna like this because you're a resident minority corner astrologist.
Oh yeah.
So Mercury represents.
Oh, Mercury. Yep, that's my thing.
Was Mercury in retrograde recently? Because I was feeling kind of cray.
No,
I just was crazy for my own reasons.
You know what it is? We're all experiencing our Saturn return.
I already had that. When I turned 28 to 30, Saturn already returned and I've dealt with that.
Okay, so maybe that's just...
I'm just crazy.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Mercury's
thanks.
Coming up in October 31st.
I can't. I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm not having it. So Mercury represents male and female principles in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
In mythology, Mercury fathered Hermaphroditus, who had both male and female sex organs, which there is a statue of Hermaphroditus at the Louvre, which I've seen.
Oh.
And it features...
I've been
like,
at the Louvre. I didn't ever been inside. I just went to the Instagram photo.
Were you high?
Photo.
You don't do drugs.
No, I don't do drugs. I just went for the Instagram photo. It was a long ass line.
Were you trying to make your ex-boyfriend jealous?
No, I went with my mom. I took her to Paris.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, she took me. But okay. Whatever. That's the story I saw on Instagram was that I took my mom to Paris.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See how we can control our narrative?
Mm-hmm.
The stories we weave. I just like this though too, because I think the balance of male and female, I think like we all have the yin and the yang with inside of ourselves, mm-hmm. and constantly looking for that balance of like, I think the world benefits and the universe benefits from balance of both male and female energies,
yes.
or whatever that is, like internally, externally. I have both fire and water.
We learned today.
As we learned today.
And air.
It's about the balancing of those. And I guess the third for the trifecta, the air.
You don't.
Fuck the earth. I don't need it. But that's what it is. You know what it is? I need a partner who's earth.
Yeah.
And that will help the balancing out.
I know where this is going.
No, you don't. All right. Next fact. Ancient Greeks didn't actually believe in I think this is a fun fact that a lot of us know. So ancient Greeks didn't believe in heterosexual and homosexual. Again, those are like new terms that like, you know, the Portuguese and a lot of the Christianity came in. Like Africa, like they were, we'll get into this later. But like
everybody was fucking like that
people
song.
Been
people been fucking.
Don't fight. Just fuck. Wait, make love tonight.
I want to hear that song.
What do you put 10 seconds of that part on there?
Yeah.
So there wasn't necessarily like terms like heterosexual and homosexual. It was passive and active. And the most common form of same-sex relationships were with an older male, the Orestes, who acted as a mentor and lover to a younger boy, the Eromenos. Y'all know... English is my second language. English is my first language, but Greek is not my first.
Greek is not in my. We don't got Duolingo for Greek.
Look it up.
Right.
You know, don't spend $400 on Fluence to learn Greek. But they did believe that sperm was the source of. That sperm was the source of knowledge and was able to be passed on.
Okay.
Different times. You know what it is? Just an excuse to be like, I'm a fuck this boy. I'm fuck this guy.
Let me get
giving you my knowledge.
Right.
Giving you my knowledge. If that's the case, I've definitely been spreading some knowledge
that
around.
That you're smart as shit. Oh, you're okay.
I have been spreading some knowledge
Minority
around.
Corner.
Oh, God. Oh, but you know what? In African countries and cultures, they also had very similar practices where they, this idea of like mentorship, where there'd be like an older man who would like take on this younger guy and fuck him and bestow his knowledge upon him. It's a tale as old as time.
Okay.
This one is actually, I forget the episode, we'll link it. I meant to do the research on this to tell you what episode this was. I want to say it was like an episode like 52. It was really early on, like episode 36.
That's a big leap, James.
Well, we're almost at episode 200, so we've been around.
Right. Are we going to get a cake for 200?
Maybe we'll get like a cupcake or something. We're on budget. This is 197, 198.
Yo, you're three away?
Yeah, we got to get a cake.
This is 197.
Yeah, you're almost there.
You better call me for the party.
So I talked about this, but I want to re-highlight because some of y'all are maybe new to the podcast. Mm. But I love this story. So this is about the, I do it in detail in whatever episode number it was, like episode 36. I did like the gay history facts. Like
maybe I could find it.
So we talked about this. It was a band of 150 gay couples, gay men in Thebes. They were the Sacred Band of Thebes, and they defeated the Spartan army, and they were undefeated for over 1,000 years. So the theory is, and Plato had this theory in his symposium that he was talking about in 370 BC, and he was essentially like, an army made of entirely of gay lovers would be formidable because each person would fight hard enough to ensure the safety of their lover. And he wrote, "No man is such a craven that love cannot inspire him with a courage that makes him equal to the bravest born." So essentially, if I love you, I'm going to fight for you. So I'm not going to let anybody kill you. So the theory was, a gay army would be perfect because they'd fight so hard because they're like, not only like, I'm fucking this guy next to me, so I gotta save his life. I love him. Don't you fuck with them, right? So that was the Band of Thebes. They started in like the year 378 BCE, so a long time ago. Very long. And their first task of the newly formed army was to march to the front lines during the famous standoff between Chabrias, I know him. He's down the street. He owed me $20.
These names?
Chabrias. That definitely sounds like I know. I think he went to school with
Chabrias.
Me. Chabrias and Agallias the second. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. And so they also engaged in several battles and even played a decisive role in helping Thebes become an important city state. The earliest mention of them, of the Sacred Band of Thieves, was in 324 by Dinarchus in his work against the Domestians. This is just like James reads history. That's what this corner is.
Right.
It gets real hard when we go to Greece. The Sacred Band of Thieves, it was led by two generals and presumably lovers. Of course they were. They were fucking each other. Like
a lot of men were fucking each other.
That's the story. Men be men fucking each other. And they were also victorious over the Spartans, like I said, in 371. Apparently, they were personally selected by Gorgidas. Gorgidas personally selected them. So this is like an exclusive. It's kind of reminds me of like gay elite now. Like you had to be invited to like fight and like the Sacred Band of Thieves. He probably wanted to fuck you. There would usually be an older dominant gentleman and his younger passive playmate. And there was a sacred vow that was taken between the lovers to join. They also practiced. Oh, this is fun. What did they do aside from just like fighting and fucking? Good question. They also practice wrestling, which probably led to fucking.
Right.
But they helped them like stay in shape and like, you know, and they held competitions. They also got down on the dance floor, and it was thought that by enriching their lives in the arts, it would make them very like well-rounded. So they did a lot of that. They also probably had really good equestrian skills as well. So they were eventually defeated. And once they were defeated, Sparta fell. So, and there was ever, apparently, like, never known to us, another gay army of people who fucked and fight. So this is like the opposite of don't ask, don't tell. In fact, we should ask and we should tell.
Right.
And the history has shown that the gays are going to be the best one to fight for you because they're fucking the guy next to you and they really love them. They're connected. They've been sharing their seed knowledge with each other.
Right.
So there's a connection. Okay, so now that we take you on that road, okay, maybe just like one or two more here, because
yes.
Oh, I'll do my favorite ones. Okay, so we're going to go to China. So in China, oh, this is a fun story. Mm-hmm. So in China, homosexuality was referred to as the cut sleeve or the pleasures of the bitten peach. And this
That's so romantic.
Well, wait to hear the story. Oh. It's interesting. So this goes back to the Zhao dynasty in 200 BC. And basically, there was this guy, Zai, mm-hmm. who he stole the duke's carriage. So there was a duke, and he stole the duke's carriage because his mom was sick. And the dude was like, oh, wow, that is like hella cute that you love your mom so much that you would steal my horse and carriage. A little fucked up that you did that. But I'm like, wow, this guy really cares about his mom. I'm kind of smitten by this. And then they were hanging out earlier, Zai and the duke, and they're walking around these peach trees, and Zai plucked a peach tree, like a peach off the tree, and took a bite, and then gave the wrist to the duke. And the duke was like, oh my God, this boy, he loves me so much that he's forgetting his own mouth and like giving this peach to me. Like that, if I don't know, if that's not love, I don't know what right. is.
If it is love.
But then the duke forgot about him over time. And then home, like typical, right? It's like, mm-hmm. oh, we're having this magical moment. You gave me this peach. I love you so much. And then the duke went on about his life. But then Zai got into some trouble. And then the duke was like, oh yeah, that guy who stole the carriage for his mom and then offered me the peach. Maybe that's like a allegory for like offered me the peach. Maybe
this
that's
gave me like Snow White vibes.
Or maybe like booty, because we use that emoji. Maybe this is where we get the peach emoji for booty from. Like he was offering me his peach.
I thought the booty was the vagina.
You
the
can see
box.
What you see what you need to see.
Right.
That's interesting. Really? You saw the peach as the vagina? I guess because I don't really.
But
do
it also
that a
is
lot.
It is a booty too.
Maybe I'm booty. Yeah, in my world, it's you've said the eggplant and the peach. What are you talking about?
Okay. Knowledge.
Spreading some knowledge.
Knowledge.
Oh, little drips, the little drippy knowledge.
Right.
Spreading some knowledge. And then he helped him out. So that's where like someone's like, oh, the pleasure of the bitten peach. It means he gay and he doing some gay stuff.
Which is romantic.
I experience the pleasures of the bitten peach.
You got to start giving out peach baskets.
This, hand out my peaches. This one's interesting. There's a couple more. So until the late 1400s, the word girl, in some areas of the world, the word girl just meant child of either sex. And if you had to differentiate between them, male children were referred to as knave girls and females were gay girls. So language changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this one comes from the Virginia court in 1629, and it recorded the first gender ambiguity among the American colonists. It was a servant named Thomas Ine Hall. He was officially declared by the governor to be both a man and a woman, and to stop everyone else from being confused, Hall was ordered to wear articles of each sex's clothing every day. And there was like a big trial about it, like everyone was just sort of confused, but nobody had like a big problem about it. They brought it to trial to try to figure out like what the story was. They're like, what do you identify as? And they just had them wear both of the clothes. This is 1629.
18 or 19?
16.
Oh, that's...
And it's in Virginia.
Wait, weren't we just, like, making in America?
So that's a good question. America hadn't even... this is under British colonial rule.
Oh, okay.
So maybe things weren't as bad there.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they still had slavery. But I think slavery would have... And this is very unpopular. And
I mean,
the FBI might come after me for saying this.
Oh, my God,
but
James.
I think it would have been better if we, like, lost the American Revolution. I think slavery would have ended sooner. I think it fattened the pockets of, like, a lot of people. So it was like the Founding Fathers were a lot of people, rich people who were like... listen, I don't want to pay these taxes. I want to start my own businesses. Like, look into it. The Founding Fathers.
I'm going to have to look into it. I did not align with any of these comments. I don't know.
We have different opinions and views. But the Founding Fathers were like, not all of them. Like, there was some great ideas and there's a lot of great ideas around freedom and stuff. But I look at it too. There were some people who were like, listen, I'm rich and I want to have my own country.
But isn't that like happening history, you know? This one's their own thing.
True. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know. Unpopular.
I don't know.
Look what happened for Canada. They eventually got their freedom and now they're actually still a part of the Commonwealth. They're still actually technically, the Queen is still their Queen of the UK. So they're part of the Commonwealth. Same as Australia. Think about it.
But then it would have been a monopoly, James.
What? No. Because they eventually, what England eventually was doing was like, oh, we can't handle all these colonies, and these colonies want their own freedom, and these colonies are kind of shit anyways. Go, you're free, but we're here if you need us.
I don't want to see. I don't even know. I'm already done. Let's change the topic. I hate, you know, America's sensitive right now.
Okay. Okay. Last one. We're going to go to Uganda for this last one.
Okay. Thank you. Traveling.
Traveling around. Oh, fun fact. In early 17th century in London, there was a gay brothel on the site where Buckingham Palace is today.
So it was a brothel?
A gay brothel where Buckingham Palace is. So there was a lot of gay fucking happening where Buckingham Palace is. The more you know. All right, last one. And Uganda had a gay king. This is back in 1884 to 1888. King Magwana II, he reigned from 1884 to 1888. He's widely reported to have affairs with his male servants. And yeah, so he was doing his thing. Researchers said that it was documented that the king had many young men in his palace and was sodomizing them at his will. Because he's like, I'm the king, so right. Fuck you. Oh, man. You know, a lot of it's like aggressive gay sex that's been happening. But the brothel is probably consensual, or someone's getting paid.
Yeah.
So when missionaries introduced Christianity to some of the young men who were getting baptized, they were telling them like the dangers of homosexuality. So again, like if this also happened when the Portuguese came in and they're like, oh my God, all this gay sex is happening. And there wasn't really a name for it in these cultures. And that's why now in a lot of African countries, when people are like, oh, be nice, like, you know, gay people, they're like, fuck you. This is a form of neocolonialism. Mm-hmm. You've already colonized us once. We're not going to do it again, even though the anti-gay laws and ideas are actually a part of colonization. So to decolonize, it would be like being like, hey, everybody fuck who they want to fuck. Do what you want to do. So the king reportedly became really annoyed by all this. And he went wild wondering how his pages had stopped disobeying him. And he actually clashed with a lot of the missionaries. He instructed the killing of all the young men who disobeyed him. So kind of like Harvey Weinsteining a little bit. So it started off as a good story of representation and then just a fucking awful guy with too much power on his hands because people weren't fucking him. So then he murdered them. Between 1885 and 1887... Yeah, but the young men were considered martyrs because they refused to fuck him and they died instead. Yeah. Oh, and also the word Babafa in the Buganda kingdom, which was part of Uganda, means husband. And he referred to all of his subjects as Babafa, which means he was like, give it up. So, yes, that is not the best fun story, but it just goes to show it's a little tidbit of showing how queerness has just been throughout history. It's nothing new. It doesn't pop out in the 50s or the 60s or something. Shit's been here. We've been queer and we've been here, and y'all should have been used to it.
Oh, let them know.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Courtney Enlow.
I'm Brent Black, and we're the hosts of Trends Like These.
Trends Like These is an internet news show where we take the stories trending on social media and go beyond the headlines.
We'll give you the actual facts of the story and not just the knee-jerk reactions.
Plus, we end every episode with a ray of hope that we call the Wi-Fi of the week.
So join us every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trends Like These, real-life friends talking internet trends.
Astrology corner with Glory. She's not a certified astrologist, but we love her. I only say that because like there are people who are certified astrologists. My friend Anne, she took courses.
Yeah.
She took a very long course and Glory just has it in her heart. She just has it in her spirit.
I needed to get into astrology because I didn't understand myself, my life. So
it is true because when Anne read my whole astrology chart, I made it like, because it was like, there's things that I'm not going to reveal my full astrology. Nope. Some of it's for me.
Okay.
Because I don't know who might be listening. But some of the things that happen, I was like, oh, so I'm not crazy or it's not weird that I act that way. That's just part of my cosmic DNA. Mm-hmm. So it just gave me like reassurance of like, you are who you are.
Yes.
It's literally written in the stars.
Right.
Because we're all part of stars.
It's written in
we're
the stars.
We're part of everything
Do
in the universe.
Do you have a pattern?
What you mean?
Pattern is this app.
I like just working with an astrologist. James. I don't need Terminator robot. Get into my business. That's just data that like Google's collecting on me, and they're going to send me like,
I mean, maybe.
Because like maybe the astrology is like, you're going to be really stressed this month. And the next thing I'm getting a package and it's like, oh, or like they keep advertising me to like massage and zen out. You might be stressed. Great. But
it's not like really astrology. It just tells you like what kind of like patterns you have in your life, like how you love and the kind of ideal. Okay, you know
I like
what?
Hearing it from a person.
Okay, well, I'm letting you know the pattern is the truth and you're going to see it.
Okay, so what's going on?
But we're going to do...
Miss Glory. I almost said Miss Cleo, right. But you're better than that.
We're going to do a little... We're going to talk about Libras today.
Did she get trained, Miss Cleo, do you think?
I think she was a scammer. Like, she, you know, I'm not lying. Like,
no, that's true. Fair enough.
She used to steal money from people.
Oh, shit. Is that what happened to Miss Cleo? And that's where she's gone?
I think that's what happened. Like, there was like some kind of case for her.
All right. Fair enough.
But I just want to give you guys some insight. You know, today we start Libra season. You all? Oh, I said you guys. Oh, my God.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
We're here to learn.
No. When I was in college, I had an internship, and the guy was like, if you say you guys one more time, I'm going to fire you.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I stopped saying that, but I made it.
I know. Hey. Yeah. I'm like catching it because like, same thing. I'm in this educational program being a motivator for teens.
Oh, right.
And in the training, the trainers kept saying, it's an Australian-based company, and Australia is a little bit behind the times sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're ahead of the curve on some things. They don't have a lot of guns, so go Australia, working
shade.
It out there.
Yeah.
They just kept saying you guys, and I kept having to be like, it's like nails on chalkboard for
me.
Y'all and folks.
Yeah. So you say y'all and folks. I say y'all.
And it's easy for me to say y'all because I also like, I have family from the South, so like y'all's not too weird for me, but I can imagine over here on like the East Coast, New York, y'all, like it might be a little... It's a transition.
No, I know. I think I said it by mistake, but I feel
digress.
No, James, I don't care.
Okay. Is this one of our fights again? Like when we fought about Michael Jackson?
No, this is, I was going to say, this is legit. No, I was going to say that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you everybody.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Yeah.
A little bit about Libra season. And I want to let y'all know that.
Another season.
We're
always in a season.
We're always in a season. And what I started realizing is that maybe if we start to take the traits of the season that's in the moment, we can apply this to our lives. So that right now, Libra season is really about love because Libra is ruled by Venus.
Ooh.
Right, so it's really about focusing on your partnerships and how you love. Oh, now this is interesting.
Okay, I'm freaked out. Tell me more. What do I do?
Libra season is about, you know, really connecting with your partners and really digging deep to see what you want in a partner and all that stuff.
Just basic stuff.
Yeah, just basic stuff, right? And it makes sense because it's around cuffing season, right? That's when we start, you know, doing.
Oh, because you're like spot. You're like, winter is coming.
Right, winter is coming.
Christmas is coming.
Right.
Who cuffing season?
Right.
Who am I bringing to the Christmas parties?
Exactly.
And the Kwanzaa parties and the Hanukkah parties.
Right. But according to Elite Daily, they're
shout out.
What a source. No shade, but
No.
Some signs are going to have some struggle moments during Libra season.
Oh, which ones? Warn us. Is it me?
Yes.
No.
You know.
Cancers are? No.
It's a lot. All the water signs.
Stop it. Why? And why are we
always? I'm going to let you know right now.
Why are we always being punished?
So Cancer. Yeah, I just love to cry. And another reason to cry, right?
Fair enough. That's
Cancers,
true. That's true. That's right. true. Fair
Scorpio,
enough.
Scorpio, Pisces.
That's the waters.
They're going to have a really bad Libra season.
But also, I want to put this as a caveat to all my other water signs. Knowledge is power. Like when my therapist warned me and he said, I had so many people who had already experienced Return of Saturn and they had told me like, oh, Return of Saturn, good luck. Like that shit fucked me up. Mm-hmm. Return of Saturn happens between 28 to 30. It's when Saturn returns back to the same spot when
it's
you
terrible.
First. It happens every 20 years. And highs, and low lows. It's the destruction of your old life and the birth of your new one.
Yes. Ooh.
And right? It literally is. And so the more that you hold on to those things of the past, it's where your suffering comes into you and you have to let those things, the things that don't serve you anymore. You have to like, you're butterflying.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey.
Right. I was going to talk about that, but.
Gloria was going to talk about how it was the 20th anniversary of Butterfly.
Well, I was three years late. But.
You could have been here at the beginning of Minority Corner when we first started.
Right.
You could have talked about that.
But she is dropping a 25th anniversary album for her Christmas album this
That's valid and fair. That's valid, because that is, I mean, Mariah Carey is the last person to make, it's so hard to make a classic Christmas song, because we're like, we've got them.
No one can make another Christmas song.
Like, Mariah was the last person to make a classic Christmas song. Like, we've got all the songs. She tried. But we've already got them. And yeah. It's so hard to make a classic Christmas song. We've got the hits. We know what we're singing.
Is all you need for Christmas.
It's all you absolutely need. Wait. Oh, when I knew that my Return of Saturn, when I was going in Return of Saturn, it gave me the tools, like, when I was going through it, to be like, oh, that's what this is. Okay. And gave me tools to hit it on head on. So those of us who are water signs, it doesn't mean that this is not a prediction. It just means be aware so you can ride these waves, because we are emotionally, ride those waves,
right,
water signs.
But I think it's all of astrology, right? It's just, you know, kind of warning signs that if you know ahead of time, you can kind of like
navigate.
When did
Libra start?
Today.
Oh, what was going on the last 3 weeks?
Virgo season. Ugh.
Oh, a lot of planning and organizing.
Yeah, I was doing that.
That makes sense.
Yo, I planned my whole life.
That too.
Yeah, so now it's more about relaxing and falling in love.
And
fucking.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, sign me up. All right, I'm in.
But yeah, it ended on October 23rd, so it's only for a month.
Okay.
So
only fucking for a month.
So we were saying it's all about experiencing the beauty all around you and discovering ways to share it with someone you love. Libra's lighthearted cardinal air comes to life via social interactions with charming ambiances. So it's really about, you know, being social, mixy, all that stuff. Aesthetics are everything.
Okay.
And it's especially true when the planet of love is around, right? So like being really elegant and diplomatic. So yeah, that's beauty and compromise, right? But I just want to say, I'm talking this positive shit about Libras. Libras are so passive aggressive.
Okay, calm down. Wait, okay. I know this is your corner, but I am not going to allow you to just drag every single Libra, because Glory, I've never in the history of Minority Corner stopped someone from expressing their opinion. That's too far. Honestly, like, you're a Gemini and people could say something. I have an ex who will say all kinds of stuff about like Geminis.
But let me tell you, it's weird Libra and Gemini are supposed to, that's supposed to be my soulmate sign.
Did someone burn you?
I just cannot get along. I can't get along with them because I think my rising and my moon is in Pisces. So that strong water energy, it ain't cutting.
That's a limiting thought. I think it's just tools and information.
I'm good on that.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, I thought the cat like turned into the cheese. I was so scared for a second. But, you know, I do want to talk about a little bit of the strengths of the Libras and the weaknesses.
Okay.
We'll position it that way.
Well, thank you.
So if you're a Libra, you know, Libras are very cooperative, diplomatic, gracious, fair-minded. Their social weaknesses, indecisive, avoids confrontations, will carry a grudge, self-pity. Are you a Libra?
Oh, okay. My moon is in Libra.
Okay, right. But you felt that, right? But yeah, and then so the signs are supposed to really go well with Gemini, Aquarius.
So the Geminis and the Aquarius are having a good time.
Yeah, and
what
the
about
Aries.
The Tauruses?
I don't know. Earth signs, they're not really
included in this
they're
conversation.
They're just kind of like chilling.
They're just there because they're earth signs.
Yeah, earth
and they're just
signs,
like, whatever.
Yeah, I really.
But it's the water ones are just like, argh.
Yeah.
Well, I think also too, it's like, isn't Libra about balance? And how do you balance? Balancing water is a tough act.
How do you? You can't balance water.
I mean, if you're very talented, you could put it on your head, like those African ladies.
I meant more like a body of water.
Oh, and you can't because the world
deep.
Is always turning.
Boom.
So that's what, because this is all about balance, and you can, it's hard to, I mean, I guess you can balance fire.
Yeah, I don't know. Libras are hoes. So
calm down. Sorry.
Okay,
calm down.
I do want to. I do want to end by giving the three signs a little warning of what you may be feeling.
Oh, you're talking to this water sign.
Yeah, so that you can navigate.
I feel like you're really just talking to me. You know I'm a water sign. You're like, James, concerned.
I need.
This is what I think is going to happen
to you. I need a corner, and this is what I'm doing for my corner.
I'm not mad at it, because I'm getting advice. So I appreciate it, but I just feel like it's a little pointed at me.
So Cancer.
Yes.
You're the first one. You're feeling indifferent.
No, that's not true.
Above Verizon.
About
no, I'm kidding. It was a
about what? About Verizon? Why'd you bring that up?
I'm kidding.
I switched. See, why'd you bring it up?
Let's talk about it.
They fucked up my internet.
No, but it says that you had a lot on your plate during Virgo season, and now it's time to crawl back into your shell.
Okay.
Cancer. By no means is this your cue to sulk in your feelings. They're advising you to get some rest. You need to sleep.
I don't have time.
See, that's the problem.
I have a lot that's happening in the next few weeks. I don't have time. Great advice. Cute. Ain't got time.
Elite Daily. You probably felt overwhelmed with the mundane task, let alone with everything else you had going on in your mind. So take advantage of this harmonious energy and find your balance.
Okay. I am going to find some balance. I am going to balance my male and female energies and just, you know, I'm just going to enjoy life. Right. A lot of this shit doesn't matter. If you think about it, we're on a giant rock floating through outer space.
We're on a fucking ship.
We're like, I mean, YOLO. We're going to die one day. So it's like,
drama.
Just telling it's true. Just enjoy the life.
Enjoy it.
A lot of what I realized too recently, we can go in deeper for a second here. A lot of the stuff that was like, sometimes will trip us up, and I can speak for myself, is the stories that we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, sometimes the story that we tell ourselves is not actually the reality of what's happening. And so it's like, your thoughts like are not the reality of what's really happening. Yes. You're looking at the world through a very small screen, and we can't look 360 and see everything that's happening.
Yeah.
So I think for myself, what I realized, and us water signs, think about this. Like, again, our thought, we have 60,000 thoughts that flow into our head in a single day. Not all of them are important. Because water signs and cancers, we're so emotional that our thoughts can trigger emotions. But remember that your thoughts are not all real.
They're not.
So it's like, that's why meditation and mindfulness is so great, because it can create distance between
Headspace you. Sponsor.
Okay. And you can put distance between you and your thoughts and say, oh, I'm having stressful thoughts, you know. And it's that I am, and separating yourself. It's like, I'm not crazy, I'm feeling crazy, right? Putting that distance that you are not your thoughts, you are not your feelings and emotions, but you might be experiencing them. So put some distance, allow it to come through you and pass through you, so that you're not taking it on anybody else.
Yeah, I love
that. Don't text while angry. Don't, you know. And also, I realized what a friend of mine was saying, that like, you have to filter, like when you read a text from a friend or from anybody, that you're reading it how your voice would process it. So take text with like a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And remember, don't create stories about things that are, you know, it's the stories that are in your head.
Right. Assumptions. I'm glad that you gave all.
Do not assume. It's one of the four agreements.
I love that you gave all the cancers advice. No, I'm kidding.
I'm just repeating my own advice to myself.
What else does it say here? Your domestic fourth house of home, family, and security are really highlighted this season. And home is where your heart is. So again, like, Libra is all about balance, you know, just kind of like, I think it says you need to sleep.
Well, I don't have time, but thank you. Next note.
Right. Scorpio, afraid of making decisions. They love to be alone. So this is a great time for me to be alone.
Wow.
Pisces, just try to, that all that texting you were talking about, try to detach from your emotions.
Ooh.
Are things getting too serious for you, Pisces? They hate reality. They're always in la la. And I couldn't relate to that, because like, my moon and my rising is in that. Something about sex.
Oh, yeah? Are we having it?
I think so.
Everybody, all the water signs are having a lot of sex.
I hope that everybody is having sex. Sex, you know, kind of changes things. It makes you a little bit free.
Spread that knowledge.
Right. Spread them
spread
seeds.
Spread them seeds.
Spread them seeds. I mean, that's kind of like my little version of
astrology,
the
corner,
astrology corner
with Glory, and she is not trained in this profession.
Clearly,
she has no certificates, but we appreciate her knowledge.
But the last thing I'm gonna let y'all know is October 31st, Mercury goes back into retrograde.
Okay, great.
So enjoy this fucking month.
Oh God,
fuck everybody, fuck.
All right, everybody, fuck whatever your sign is. Fuck away. Pitbull, aka Glory. I'm going to start calling you the Minority Corner Pitbull.
Get on the floor. That's a lot.
Why are you singing the J-Lo Ho part?
Because I'm the whole voiceover.
Oh, you are the... Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Aston Martin. I can't do it.
Do you need us? We're going to put some J-Lo reverb on here.
Right.
We'll do some J-Lo like audio magic. Now you got me dragging her.
What was
her.
One of her songs?
I don't know. One thing that, you know what's so weird about J-Lo is that like... She's a dancer, but I can't, you know, like, I feel like Janet and Madonna and Britney all have like, and Michael have iconic moves that if I were to do one, you'd be like, ooh, I know exactly whose move that is.
Yeah. This is like a Britney thing.
There's many, or like the Slave for You stuff, like, or like Janet, the dun, 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 Michael Jackson driving crotch. Like, I could do Madonna stuff. But if I were to be like,
she just dragged her whole career and said she doesn't have one. Her best thing that she could do, she doesn't even have an iconic moment.
That's her number one thing. I would, if I busted a J-Lo move and I'm like, who's this? You'd be like,
I don't know. There's one move she has, the get right move where she's like,
oh, the burner, burner, with like the cane thing. Yeah, okay. Or you can just think like, ooh, Pimp Daddy.
Yeah, like she does a good walk.
I mean, her choreography is great, but she like dances like a backup dancer. So she doesn't, she blends it.
Well, wow. No, that is more offensive than what anything I said in this whole episode.
But she is a backup dancer. She dances. She's a backup like dancer and pushed to the front. So it's like she blends in. Whereas, like,
James! Oh my God. You want to get blackballed by fucking Puerto Rican productions? Or what is it called? New Yorican? You said she blends in.
It's not a bad thing if you're a backup dancer.
You said that she went to Vegas and had a residency to blend in. Wow.
But when you see like Beyonce or Britney, because they're not like trained dancers per se, they've taken classes, they stand out a bit more because there's a little bit of like, not unpolished, but they stand out. But J-Lo's so pitch perfect that she just blends in with everybody and it's just like a wash.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And then she always has just guys in the back.
Yeah. So I just like, it just blends in.
So maybe she's not an icon. She's just been around.
Well, I mean, do the J-Lo thing. Stick around long enough and someone will notice you.
I mean, I would say she is an icon.
But you know what? She's killing it. She's making money. She's got great, she's making money moves. She's making, you know, snaps off to J-Lo. You're a woman
she's
of color.
Icon.
You're doing stuff.
A legend.
She's an icon. One of her songs at Pitbull, he calls her a legend. So
she's not a legend.
I mean, she's getting there. She's legendary. Anyways,
can
J-Lo,
she get an,
I do
can
love
she get an award? I mean, I guess awards aren't everything.
And she got the Video Vanguard Award.
Okay, this is MTV. We're talking about James.
Okay, calm down.
James. I got a Teen Choice
I know
award.
It seems like I don't like Jennifer Lopez.
No, I want to say something. I like
I
her
just
shit.
Just put it in perspective of like, let's just be real about things.
Like, and she's real. That's her whole thing. I'm real.
I'm J-Lo.
Right.
You want it.
And I think part of it is that she hasn't been real. Right.
Or that's DMX.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Gloria, do you want to plug anything? You've got shows coming up. When this show airs, you had a show yesterday. I hope it went well.
Yes. And and it was sold out. But I have another show on Halloween in Harlem at Hexagon Lounge.
Okay.
It's free. And just, you know, come through and hear some jokes.
And they can still follow you on Instagram.
Oh, Glory is pretty funny.
Glory is pretty funny. Yeah. And then you also have Pretty Funny Friends on Facebook.
Pretty Funny
that.
Friends. And on Twitter, I'm Glory the Legend.
Perfect. Of course. You're the legend. I feel like that's a shade towards Jennifer Lopez. And you all can get involved in the conversation. You can send us an email at minoritycorner at gmail.com. You can tweet at us, Minority Corner. It's all spelled with a K. And then we also have a Facebook group, the Minority Corner Kids Playground. And a big thanks to Glory for joining us.
You're welcome. I had fun.
I love you. You are our pit bull. You come back. We're going to have to make it a four-peat.
This is number four?
This is number three.
Oh, you call me
this
back, James, whenever you need me.
And a big thank you to Woody, our editor, Brownout, for the music. And a big thank you all for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're
the majority.
Back to you, she remembers. Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.